What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast. On this episode, we have guest host Sarah Stevens. Sarah is a good friend of mine, and she's a comedian in Atlanta, and she's agreed to hop on and help us see what's going on in this ghost story. Fair to say you're skeptical?
Yeah, I want to believe. I haven't had any experiences, and I always try to look for like the logical explanation for why things happen.
That's where logic will get you every time. You just got to throw it to faith. No, I'm the same way. Logic, but I don't know. I'm at this point, after doing all these episodes, I'm probably closer to like a 6 or 7, which is kind of crazy because when we started, I was probably at about a 2. But we've had so many awesome guests like the one we have on today. Our guest today, I read her story on Reddit and I really wanted to bring it to our audience. Our guest today is Jamie. Jamie, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, as good as one can do in these crazy, crazy times. So Jamie, on a scale 1 to 10, 1 being you don't believe in ghosts at all, 10 being ghosts are totally real. I absolutely believe in them. Where do you kind of fall on that scale?
Well, I'm going to say before I had my experience, I was probably similar, like a 3 or 4, you know, I couldn't disprove it, but I couldn't prove it. And, you know, I was like open. After my experience, I'm definitely a 10. There's like no way
10.
About it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Spoiler audience, I have read her story and it's pretty scary. And I think if it happened to me, I'd probably be a 10 too, but it didn't. So that's why we're here to talk about it.
So I'm from New Jersey originally. And, you know, we used to go into the city and I'd never heard of Roosevelt Island until I got like sequestered there, we'll say, college freshman year. It's a very desolate island. Now, this was back in 1999, so it wasn't as built up as it is today. And what it is if you've ever seen Spider-Man, if you know that scene where he's on the tram car and he goes to the abandoned asylum, that is Roosevelt Island. That is that asylum. They filmed it there. And it's like a landmark, so they can't take that down. But from what I understand and what I learned as I lived there is that it was an island that was used for smallpox patients and insane asylums. It was at one point, there was some prisons on there for like lunacy. I read in a update to this because I was like getting more curious that Nellie Bly wrote her memoir about being in an asylum at that insane asylum that was right next to our buildings.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of like, whoa, I never heard about that. It had its creepy history. On a lighter note, Grandpa Munster from the Munsters used to live there and I used to see him every day. So that was kind of weird.
You used to see him every day?
Yeah, the actor that played Grandpa Munster used to like, there's this little free bus and it would like go back and forth, or I think it cost a quarter actually. Now I think it's free, but like it would take you down up and down the island. And then you're looking at Manhattan on one side and Queens on the other. I want to say he had like a straw hat on.
When he's not in character, he wears straw hats.
Yeah.
I feel like I saw a documentary about Roosevelt Island where it talked about, like you said, it was an asylum, right? And I feel like they went in and filmed like a bunch of super creepy stuff inside of it.
Well, when we were living there at that time, there was an asylum that was sort of, I found out later, that was a smallpox hospital and it was sort of abandoned. So kids would go in there from like college, you know, and just like, you know, do what college kids do, you know, and get into some shenanigans. They were like, no, it's totally like it was before. And then there was like an Octagon hospital, which is the insane asylum that was next to us. And it actually had a fire like the first week I was at school and like it all burned inside. So then I don't know.
Was it abandoned before it burned down? Or
it was abandoned. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, wow, high drama.
Yeah, no, there was a fire like my first week of school and we could see it from that apartment, like across the way. And, you know, after it was burned out, we would kind of try and dare each other to go in and see what was going on and whatever. And now it's fun fact, super fancy apartments. And I'm like, I don't know how you live there. They preserve the Octagon part. And that's like the middle hallway of the connections for all the apartments. Because they've really built Roosevelt Island up now. Like that asylum that I was telling you about at the other end of the island, that's not there anymore. The only one is the creepy abandoned Spider-Man one. And that's because it's like a historical landmark.
Where on Roosevelt Island did you have your experience?
So I lived in the apartment buildings near the Octagon Hospital. And that would be at the north end of the island. It's only about, I want to say it's only a mile or so long. So this was my sophomore year. I'd only lived on Roosevelt Island for freshman year for a couple weeks. And then I transferred to a different dorm. I was in an apartment that faced Manhattan, which was pretty swanky. I'm not gonna lie. I would kill for that like balcony right now. I don't even know how much that apartment was worth.
You don't have that in Spokane, Washington?
I do not. Although my 4-year-old seems to think downtown is New York City.
Oh.
Yeah, she doesn't know. We moved in with, it was one of my good friends, and another girl that we'd hardly knew because our fourth roommate that we had three friends and we were supposed to have a fourth and she dropped out of college. So we got stuck with this girl that we didn't really know. So that's just a little preface. So me and my good friend, we'll call her D, lived in the big bedroom. And then the other two girls lived in the other bedroom with the balcony. And they were rarely home because they both had like boyfriends at the time. So it was really me and D that were home all the time. Just right away, like the first time we moved into the apartment, it never felt like you were alone. It just always felt like somebody was there with you. And I remember probably the first month of school, I was like doing some art project and I was the only one home and I was standing there at the wall and I just felt like somebody was right behind me, like just standing right behind me the whole time, like lingering, like over my shoulder. And I'm like, all right, you know, you're just a little, I'm not afraid of being home alone. This is not who I am. I'm like, yes, I have free time. But this was different. It was just, something was freaking me out. So this continued on for a little while. And then people would come over and hang out and sleep over and things like that. So I guess that brings us to like October. And it was around Halloween. And we all started to just like sit around telling ghost stories and stupid things. And one of my friends swears that she feels and sees ghosts. She's said that before she has like a spirit of an old man that would sit on her the end of her bed. And so she just gets these feelings. So that's how it sort of organically turned into this ghost conversation. I guess I should back up because right before this, Dee and I, we were in the same class. It was like a model making class and our apartment was small. So we took turns doing our project. One night she was sleeping and I was doing my project. I finished it up and then it was like shift change. And then I went into the bedroom and she was out in the living room and we were the only ones home. So I went into my bed and I was reading a book. And then all of a sudden I felt like somebody was behind me. So I just assumed it was her. And I turned around and no one was there. Okay. So I was like, all right, yeah, whatever. So I settle in again. I start reading. A shadow comes on my book. I feel like she's behind me. I turn around and she's not there. Okay. So I'm like, now I'm moving my blankets. I'm like, where's my head? Moving the lamp, you know, doing all the logical things. I go back to reading and lo and behold, it happens yet again. And at this time I'm like, okay, I pull the covers over my head and just like turn off the light. And I'm like, I'll just go to sleep. Like nobody can get me through this duvet, you know? And you're like, okay, I'm like 20 years old. I'm not going to tell anybody about this. Like I'm a child here, afraid of ghosts, you know? Fast forward again to Halloween. We're all sitting around talking about our stories. My roommate says, well, I had a freaky thing happen to me. And she's like, one night, Jamie and I had our projects to do and she was in the other room and I was sitting here doing my project and she's like, and I just felt like she was behind me and I looked and she wasn't there. I'm like, I had never told her this. Like I didn't tell anybody this story because I was like, oh yeah, you know, whatever. You're 20 and you're afraid of ghosts. So she continues her story and she says, and then I heard somebody get up and walk into the bathroom. Now, the way our apartment was like kind of laid out, the bathroom was like in a central hallway between the two bedrooms. And then her back would have been toward the hallway where she was sitting. So she looked and she saw, like, she thought she saw me get up and go to the bathroom. So she got up and looks and I'm sleeping. And then she's like, weird, you know? So she goes and sits down and does her project. And then she said she starts to feel like something's on the back of her neck, like all the hairs on the back of her neck start to stand up. And she's like, it was just really weird. And she and I had never talked about this, which is what is weird. And we could pinpoint it to that day because of the project we were doing. So I was like, well, that's crazy. So I tell her and now we're all like kind of freaked out. So then everybody starts to like talk about what they're going through. So we had like people that would come and sleep over. They would say, two people said that when they slept over, they felt like they were like paralyzed and then spinning. Like they were floating and then they were spinning. So two different people who slept over at our house confirm that they were feeling the same things.
So kind of like sleep paralysis?
That's, you know, I don't know enough about sleep paralysis to really say if that's what it was, but I would find it, see, I could be skeptical about one, but two different people having the same dream It's a little bizarre, in my opinion. So then, like, another one of our roommates just said, yeah, every time I'm, like, on the balcony, I feel like somebody's going to push me. And, like, I feel like that, too. You know, I was, like, kind of feeling like that, too. And we're like, okay, like, something's going on here. But what do? You know, you're like, hey, I live in this apartment, and cool, it might be haunted. Like, you know, so you just kind of try and shake it off, laugh it off, whatever.
Well, and Jamie, let me ask you before we keep going. So I've heard a lot of, like, I felt like this. And I kind of have an idea of what you mean. I've been in situations where I felt like somebody was behind me, or, you know, but for people who haven't ever experienced that sensation, how would you describe that? Like, what does that feel like to you?
Well, it felt like somebody was watching me. And it was so strong in this case that I could have sworn that, like, you know, that feeling when somebody's physically standing behind you, it was that strong. It was, I would have sworn on my life that somebody was behind me. And when I turned around, I was, like, surprised to find that nobody was there.
You would get that same feeling on the balcony as well?
The balcony was, like, almost more aggressive, like an aggressive feeling, like somebody didn't want you out there. Like, maybe it was, I don't know, their spot, or maybe that was previously something else. I don't know. I'm just speculating at this point. I'm not, like, a ghost hunter or anything. But, you know, I would just say it was, like, particularly strong, and I've never felt anything quite like that since. That brings us kind of, like, you know, the same kind of things were happening. You never just felt like you were alone when you were alone in the apartment. And, you know, at that point, we were, our stories were kind of corroborated with each other. Of course, my roommates go away for Christmas break. And who's the last one in the apartment? Me. Oh, I skipped a part, actually. One thing that happened before Christmas was I used to, like, sit in the kitchen table, and that faced the hallway. I would, like, see this black shadow, like, out of the corner of my eye. And I always just dismissed it. I'm like, my peripheral vision, my glasses, I've been wearing, you know, whatever. So one day I was talking with a friend, and she was sitting at the table, and I get distracted kind of easily. I'm like, hey, something shiny. So I was talking to her, and I stopped talking for a second. And then I looked at her and just continued to say what we were talking about. And she just said, I saw it. And I was like, what? Like, what did you see? She's like, the black thing in the hallway. I saw it. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. Because I didn't tell her. Again, this is why, from being a skeptic to being, like, you know, a believer, having not told her, not communicated, just, like, being the person I am, like a squirrel, of, you know, looking around like anything else. She's like, I saw that black thing in the hallway. Cool. Like, it was the middle of the day. There's no reason. There's nobody there. There's nothing to cause that shadow, you know, and it just sort of, like, darted quickly around the corner. So that really, like, started to cement more of my beliefs. And it connects me to the, you know, winter break. That was the same friend. Her name was Christine, that came over. I was like, you can't let me sleep here by myself. I need somebody to sleep over. I'm too freaked out. Like, you have to come over. So she did. And she was in the living room. I was, like, brushing my teeth because we were going to go somewhere, brushing my hair or something. We're the only people in the apartment. And she was talking to me. And then all of a sudden, I heard distinctly and blatantly and creepily, and it stuck with me ever since, Jamie. Right in my ear, like directly in my ear, to the point where I was like, ah, did you, like, say something? And she's like, what? No. And she clearly didn't say it. It wasn't like, she was far away. There's no way that her, I can't explain it. I just can't. It's unexplainable to me. But let alone to say, like, I was very freaked out at that point. I was thankful that winter break was, I think my dad was picking me up, like, the next morning, you know? So we did what we thought we should do. Like, let's go to the RA, you know, like, tell them, because this was an apartment building that, like, they only had certain apartments for our college, so the rest were just, like, normal families and stuff like that. So we went to RA. He thought I was crazy, I'm pretty sure, and then you know, just kind of dismissed it. And we were like, okay, well, what do we do? This is where I live, you know, like, so we slept over and just kind of tried to make the best of it. And then my dad picked me up for winter break. Over winter break, I did contact people. Like, it wasn't as popular as it is now, like, to get people to come and, you know, investigate.
Yeah. Like, ghost hunters come over.
Yeah, yeah. I think I started up my AOL and, you know, Googled their GeoCities page. And, you know, just looking for people and explaining the situation. And, like, a couple different groups were, like, really interested in it. So I was like, well, this will be cool. I'd really love to find out what's going on. So I get back to school and I tell my roommates. And they're acting like I'm crazy. They're like, oh, no, we're not having ghost hunters come in here. I'm like, you guys had said, like, you're having experiences. Like, what other chance do we have to do this? And so, you know, there's four of us. I have to respect their decision. And sadly, I never got to find out. But I was like, okay, well, what do I do? I went to church. I found a church and got some holy water. I felt like I was stealing it, by the way. I was like, I don't know, how does this work? Like, do I talk to the priest? Like, hey, I potentially have a ghost, you know, like, so I just was like smuggled in my bottle and got some holy water. And then I just did what, like, you know, some people say to do it, which is just like, tell them, like, you're not welcome here. Like, this is my apartment. You're freaking me out. You need to go. And then I sprinkled some holy water. And then either I just buried it deep where I was like ignoring it, or it went away. I didn't have any experiences after that in that apartment, but.
Yeah, ghosts are kind of like perverts. Like, you tell them to go away and throw some cold water on them, and they typically don't bother you anymore.
Yeah, well, but, and you think about it, you're like, wow, what does this ghost see? Ugh. You know, like, no way. I don't know. I could get into a whole bunch of different levels.
I've always wondered, like, what a ghost see?
Yeah, I think about that, about, like, my dead relatives, too. I'm like, can they see me? Like, they see everything. I don't know, but that's a whole another story. But so that experience really, like, freaked me out. The fact that it was just independently corroborated. Now I have, like, a scientific component to my brain as well as, like, the creative part, and that's the part that I always have to, like, facts. I hit you up with the facts. If somebody says something, I'm like, let me research that. No, you know. And I can't figure out why this went the way it did.
Yeah. Did the voice of the ghost sound like it had a gender?
I would almost say it was male, but it was a whisper, and it was such a loud whisper. It just was, and it was like, it almost took voice and speech class or something. It was like perfect. It was like, I can still feel it. Like, oh.
But you've never experienced anything like that since then?
Prior to that, no. Since then, yes, a little bit. I lived in a house that was kind of weird. It was a little older. This was pretty mundane, but I lived in the attic, and it had, like, this, it was a shore house. I lived on the Jersey Shore. Like, they had the, like, that, like, thin carpet that's kind of, like, you know, very noisy, if that makes sense. And we had a door to my bedroom, and it sort of dragged on the carpet. And so there were several times that I was, like, alone. I had the whole top floor to myself. They had, like, barn doors, so I would hear those open if somebody came up. But I would hear, like, the door dragging on the carpet. When I would look, like, nobody would be there. But there was one time I did thought I saw somebody standing at the end of my bed. And it wasn't a person. But I will say, like, I also have to wear glasses. So I didn't have my glasses on. But, like, it looked like somebody was there. Like, I had to find my glasses after that to just disprove that was there. So I was kind of like, I don't really know what that was all about. And then we swear that there's a ghost at my theater. His name is George.
Okay.
They named him. Yeah.
So Sarah and I both perform in theaters as well. Like, Sarah, what do you think it is about these theaters that all have ghosts in them?
I think ghosts just want attention. So theater is a great place for that.
Yeah, they're egocentric for sure.
I mean, that's why we all do theater, right?
Yes.
Don't look at me. I'm a techie, okay?
She's like, I'm not like you broken people on your podcast and in your theater.
Yeah, no, they called the ghost George, and they talked about him before I moved there. But I've had a couple of experiences almost similar where I almost felt like somebody was, like, telling me to get out, kind of like negative energy in the place where we keep our costumes. It's, like, upstairs, and it's, like, dark. And then when we reorganized, it feels happier. So I'm like, oh, maybe George just doesn't like clutter.
And was George, like, an actual person, or is that just an occurrence that they named George?
I think it's just something that they do. We also had a bat in the theater one time. Like, it flew in during the day and they named it Gregory.
I was going to say also
named Gregory. Like, yeah.
Did he ever get out or is he still there?
It was actually a hilarious story. We all the people backstage work during the day. And I heard in the costume shop, there's a bat in here. And then and you hear like a minute later, it's like, bat's gone. And then like a couple minutes later, they're like, the bat's back. And so we think it flew in through the orchestra pit. And like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to find its corpse somewhere in the like storage.
Okay.
I'm hoping it got out, right? Yeah.
Okay. So I've never had a run-in with a bat. I've seen bats before outside. I know they exist. I know they're real. But I was talking to my mom not too long ago, and she just randomly tells me, oh, we had a bat in the house the other day. And I was like, excuse me? You had a bat in the house? She's like, yeah, there's this little part next to the door that we can't get covered up. And sometimes birds and bats come in. And I was like, what, do you live in a barn? What do you mean? And she was like, well, it was a tiny bat. And I was like, okay, what did you do? She was like, well, we chased it around with a broom, but then we lost it. And I was like, I'm sorry, but you can't just live in a house with a bat in it. She was like, no, it's dead. And I was like, what? She was like, yeah, I found it yesterday by the coffee pot. And I was just like, I give up. I don't understand.
The coffee pot?
Yeah. She's like, it was just dead next to the coffee pot. And I was like, that bat was sick.
It was
sick.
Like, I can keep going. I need caffeine.
So, yeah.
You know, it's like a kid of the 90s, you know, manhunt and everything. And one time, like, we had a lot of bats flying around at night. And one landed on my head for a second. It traumatized me. I'm like not vampire or anything. Like, it didn't bite me.
Okay. One, that reminds me of The Office. And two, I kind of think bats are cute. Like, they look like little puppies with wings. I don't know.
Says
is that
the
just
person
me?
Who's never had a run-in with one.
That's fair.
That's why it was named Gregory, by the person who thought the bats were cute. And I'm like, no, Gregory needs to stay the hell away from me because I'm not into it. Aside from that story, there was one other time that kind of really creeped me out. Like, we all have keys to the building, and I had to go in early one day, and I was like the only person in this building, which is not ideal. Because you walk in the stage door and you think that the light switch was right there, but no, it's like across the room. So you have to go across the stage, and sometimes the ghost light's like, you know, in the right spot, but it's really dark. And there's like this stairwell off of the stage, and it has a blue light, which automatically makes everything look eerie because, you know, you don't want to project the light on stage. So that was on, and I was the only person in there. And I swear I heard people like whispering down there. They're like, it almost sounded like a radio broadcast. And I was like, oh my God. And I texted everybody on the like message board. I was like, is anybody here? You know? And nobody was there. I was the only person in the building. Can't explain that. I can say that the sound person also told me a couple times she saw a ghost, she said, walk across the stage a couple times, you know, because we're always there in the off hours, you know, when people aren't hanging out there. So, I mean, I don't know enough about that to get into that part. I'm fairly new to Spokane, but in my short time there, George has totally freaked me out. And my boss has actually mentioned too that there's a studio theater underneath the main stage. And she's like, oh, the woman that sits in the lobby there. I'm like, oh, cool. That's not freaky at all. So,
wow. So yeah, the theater's almost, definitely haunted then. I mean, it's
yeah,
like
there's... I feel there's something amiss. Again, I can't prove or disprove. But I would say like I'm probably, we're all kind of empathic. So that might have something to do with the way we pick up on energies.
Yeah, for sure. I'm similar in that way. Like, it's interesting, co-host JJ and Kat. JJ is very skeptical, very scientific, and he's never experienced like, oh, there's somebody behind me feeling, oh, somebody's watching me feeling. Like, he's never had any of those sensations. And so it makes him very curious, also kind of drives him crazy how we all talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
And he's just always like, I don't get it. I don't, he's like, he almost
stand right behind him and tell him to close his eyes and be like, that's it, dude. There it is.
It's interesting. Because I could understand it is a hard thing to explain. Somebody on our podcast explained it as like, almost like the staticky feeling you get off like a TV or, you know, kind of like a spidey sense sensation, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the best way I think I've heard it explained.
Yeah, there were times like, you know, I could get like little goosebumps kind of feelings, you know, where just for a minute you're like, oh, something's different, you know. I didn't feel like a cold breeze or any of that kind of stuff that some people associate with that. I didn't smell sulfur, so I'm assuming it's not a demon, hopefully. I don't know. Again, I'm not a professional. I've just watched a lot of ghost programs now since. I discovered that on demand during the pandemic. It was pretty serious.
Well, it's interesting you said you went to the church to get the holy water. A lot of the people we've had on our podcast like grew up in the Catholic Church for whatever reason. And I don't know if that made them more susceptible to believing in ghosts and that made, you know, these experiences more likely to come to them or what have you. But a handful of them, they actually got priests to come in and bless their homes, you know, and they, for the most part, it sounds like they had positive results. But the number one thing I've heard is what you did, which is they told the ghost, you're not welcome, get out. And that seems almost universally to have worked to rid people of these negative experiences.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's because it was brought up in New Jersey and we're already kind of aggressive and mouthy, but that was like my natural instinct, just like, yo, you need to get out of here. You know,
I want to go back to the holy water too, because I grew up Catholic and the idea of you like coming in like Mission Impossible style and spilling some holy water out of the like, because I'm guessing, did you get it out of the little bowl that kind of sits in the lobby?
Yeah, like I walked like right in there and I'm like looking around, you know, like, is anybody watching? Like, am I allowed to do this? I don't care. I have a ghost. Like, this is imperative. Yeah.
I love like thinking that the ghosts were just like, this woman's hard. She stole holy water.
Yeah, don't mess with her. In hindsight, if I encounter that again, I'm going to use like water guns and just filled with holy water is my jam. I better locate the nearest Catholic church in this town. Sort of spiritual, but not, you know, I was raised Catholic.
Yeah, one of my friends, she's Catholic. Her and her husband are Catholic. And every time they've moved into a new home, her mother is like a devout Catholic. Devout? How do you say that?
Devout.
Catholic. And she makes them get the home blessed by a priest. Just, it's fascinating to me. I don't think I could do that. I don't know. Like maybe if I actually had the ghost there, I could go through with that, but I would feel so weird asking another adult to come over to my house and like throw water around and bless the home. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I lived in New Orleans for a little bit and like sage is kind of a big thing there. Mm-hmm. To, you know, cleanse your home. So I'm sort of more inclined to be like, yeah, well, that makes sense.
Have you ever done anything like mess with Ouija boards or gone to mediums to try to see what's going on with all of this?
Well, not with this specific incident. You know, I think everybody kind of is like, oh, a Ouija board. And you're like, oh, this has to contact the dead. I got it from Toys R Us, you know, like that was the thing. So when we were teenagers, you know, we were always asking the Ouija board just stupid things like, who has a crush on me? Ghosts. And, you know, I don't think we really used it right. But it freaked me out enough to like that I was like, you know, you can just have this Ouija board. Like, I don't want this in my house. And I like left it with a friend. As far as I know, I mean, she's still alive, so that's good. But like, I don't think she's had any like issues or anything with it. But I don't know, something about it freaked me out, like where I was just kind of like, I'm not going to mess with this. I did go to, there's a store in New Orleans where women who identify as witches do tarot card readings and things like that. And I find those to be interesting. There's been some things that have lined up in the way that they said. Specifically, this one woman was very on point and she was recommended by a couple other people who've had very good experiences with her. So I don't really discount any sort of spiritual or paranormal type thing. I think, I mean, it's a big world, it's a big universe.
The Zodiac Bitches episode, which are some friends of ours in Atlanta that are also comedians, but they're big into tarot cards, and they did a tarot reading for us live when we recorded it. And I hate to say, like, it was super accurate, like freaky accurate the way it came out. Same with like when we've had for the most part, like the psychics and mediums we've had on. Now obviously it's not like everything they say hits, but some of the stuff they've said, like one of them brought up that my uncle was like a boxer in the Navy, and it's like, how would anybody know that? Like, yeah. I barely know that, you know, like, I don't know, you know, so maybe there is something to that side of spirituality or, you know, the supernatural. I don't really know. I know I get premonitions and weird dreams and stuff, but it's not enough for me to necessarily think that there's like X-Men out there. I want to believe it because that's really cool, but it's also a little scary. Sarah, have you ever had a tarot reading or Ouija board experience?
Like a while ago, a friend sort of did a tarot card reading, but she had no idea what she was doing. And all I remember is her getting mad that I touched the card. I didn't know the rules. And she just like brought a deck. She's like not trained in it at all. She just like had a deck and brought it. And I touched her cards and she told me I was cursed.
Oh God. Well, that explains a lot actually. No.
Yeah.
Hey, you said something about premonitions. One time I had a dream that my friend was pregnant and I asked her, called her the next day. I was like, are you pregnant? And she said no. And then later on, she confessed she was pregnant. She just was waiting that 4-month window before you can tell everyone. I was like, oh God.
Huh. Oh my God. How did that make you feel knowing that something told you that?
I didn't feel like scared of that or anything like that. I have like feelings sometimes where they come true. I think it's logic though. I think it's like, I'm just too analytical and maybe a little OCD in my brain, but that was weird that it was a dream, you know? And there's things where like, it'll come up, I'll be like humming a song and then like, it's a rare song or something like that. And I'll see it on something later that day. And I'm like, okay, that's odd. What are the chances that Brandy or a Fine Girl is on right now? You know?
Oh yeah. That is weird. I, the other day I was like, you know, I haven't talked to this person in a while, and literally 3 minutes, mm-hmm. it came up on my phone after that. But you know, what people say with that, they were like, well, do you always think that? And it just happened that time. And it's not like necessarily something important. So you don't remember it. I don't know, but I love that. Like that in the radio thing too. It's like, man, I'd let you know this song and then boom there, you know, that kind of stuff is super cool. We had an episode with premonitions and stuff. It still kind of like bothers me a little bit. It was this lady who was an au pair from Russia. And I wanted to say maybe she teaches music or piano or something now. I can't remember exactly. It was an early episode of ours. But she predicted when people would die.
Oh,
and death is a little bit of an issue for me. So that kind of freaked me out. But she told the story of like seeing her music professor or one of her professors. And she walked by him in the hallway and she was like, he's going to die tomorrow. And sure enough, he died of like a heart condition. And she said she predicted that Prince would die and he died the next day. And she had this list of all these. Now, obviously there's no way for us to prove or disprove she had these experiences, but she wasn't like publicizing that she could do this. It was just somebody knew somebody who knew somebody and recommended her to come tell her stories, you know? So I don't really know why she would lie about it. But I asked her, I was like, so when your professor, when you got that feeling, it had happened to her before, so she believed it was like a real power. I was like, did you tell him? Like, since you really believed it? And she's like, no, you know, I didn't want to like bother him. I was like, he was gonna die. What do you mean bother him?
It sounds like a curse. Like maybe she touched somebody's tarot deck and like, that's a horrible responsibility.
Sarah, that's a callback, what she did. That's...
Yeah. Which, speaking of Noah, I need to tell you something after the podcast.
Oh, great. You see dead people?
I know when you're going to die.
Oh, great, great. Well, hopefully it's on stage. So, Jamie, that's quite the experiences you've had. I don't know if we've had anybody that I can remember that has had a spirit or ghost or something like whisper in their ear, almost like in a taunting fashion like that. And so like, if you go into your mind's eye, you said that you can still hear that voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like just clear, like a bell. Cause it was so creepy. You know, it was almost just like, I'm here, you know, like.
Do you think it was connected to the like asylum or anything? Or did you like ever get a feeling of who this ghost was?
No, I wouldn't say there was any sort of particular feeling. Like the negative feelings on the balcony are obviously a little off-putting. And I know that it was like I don't want to say it was a shadow figure, but from what people describe as being a shadow figure, I think maybe that was potentially what I was seeing. And I know some people believe that they're, you know, more mischievous and in nature, sometimes evil. I would tend to think this one was probably mischievous. The fact that it just was like, all right, yeah, peace, I'm gonna go. When I said get out of here, you know, it doesn't lead me to believe that it's like menacing, you know.
That would bother me. I think, if I can still hear that voice.
It doesn't not bother me. It's not like I think about it like all the time. I think it's, to me, again, being like very factual. Like if I see a post on Facebook, I'm like, no, you're wrong. And here, and I like prove like with a bibliography of where I found everything, you know what I mean? And just having those different experiences happen at the same time without communicating really sold it home for me. And I was like, all right, well, yeah.
Yeah. One of our favorite things on the podcast is when people have experiences and then they're corroborated by other people they were around at that time. And once again, it seems like that's happened, but now none of your other people though, they didn't hear it, right? Were you the only one who heard the ghost?
No, my friend Christine didn't hear it. And you know, honestly, she would even love to be a part of this, but she passed away last year or so. She would have definitely jumped on this and told you all about it too.
I was going to ask you after the podcast if she could come on, but I'm glad you saved me that.
I wish she could. Maybe she'll absolutely come to my dreams or something. I'll just tell you the secret.
Yeah. Well, that's quite the experience. Do you have any parting words for our audience who maybe have experienced similar things that you have?
I mean, I guess just like go into life with an open mind, you know? It's the same way I feel about things like, you know, people are like, oh, well, aliens don't exist. Well, don't they? I mean, it's a big universe. Like, it would be kind of idiotic to think we're the only thing going on. So I definitely believe that if you just keep an open mind and if you're interested in it, maybe it'll find you. I know I don't mess with things like EVPs and things like that because I know I'd like freak myself out. So, you know, I feel like I'm too in tune to that. But I fully wholeheartedly believe that if you keep an open mind about things, you know, you never know. It could change your whole perspective.
You hear that, JJ? You keep an open mind about those ghosts. You stay thirsty and one day they will visit you. Sarah, did you have any more questions for Jamie before we get her out of here?
No, I enjoyed your story. And I'm telling you, like, the idea of you going in and sneaking out that holy water is like the favorite thing, my favorite thing. I just love that so much.
Yeah, that's gold.
It happened just as you thought it did too.
Yeah.
Yep, that's awesome. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate your time. And hopefully no more shadow figures bother you and only the people you want to will whisper your name in your ear moving forward.
Cool. Appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Jamie. Have a good night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Sarah, have you ever had something whisper your name into your ear?
Some things, but not what we're going to talk about on this podcast.
Yeah, I think if a ghost did that to me, I wouldn't want anybody to ever whisper my name in my ear ever again.
But like the excitement of it, maybe the reminder of like, oh, this is risky.
Like ghost foreplay.
Ghost foreplay, yeah.
Well, JJ is always talking about how he wants to meet somebody who's had sex with a ghost, which leads me to believe this might be the closest thing we're going to find. It's not sex, but it's pretty fucking creepy to have a ghost whisper in your ear.
Yeah, I mean, but as she said, you know, if you're open to it, just see where it takes you.
Ugh, I don't know. Like, I feel like hearing a voice, because it would lead me, and I'm just speaking for myself, but it would lead me to have a lot of questions about my own sanity, you know, if like I'm hearing voices or whatever, because there's such a stereotype about that.
Yeah, they're like hearing something is a lot different than seeing something, because you can write off seeing something. It's easy for me to be like, oh, well, that thing was just a shadow. Or even like that was just something that your mind told your eyes to see because you were thinking about it. But hearing something feels more concrete.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a word and not just like,
Yeah. And I mean that whatever, if all that happened, I mean, whatever entity she was dealing with, it seemed to be a little more aggressive than the normal supernatural experience we hear about.
Yeah, the feeling like she was going to get pushed, her friend feeling like she was going to get pushed off the balcony was interesting. Yeah.
You know, those people, the other people who live there seem to corroborate her story without knowing her story was very interesting too.
Yeah, I also have to say that one of my favorite things is the way you say corroborate.
How do you say it?
Corroborate?
I say corroborate. I'm leaving an R out, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Great. Great.
Corroborate? Well, or am I adding an R? I think you're leaving out an R.
Odds are I'm leaving one out and you're probably saying
odds are. Okay.
Why is that
odds
funny?
Are. See, like, odds are. But you're leaving out an R. Okay.
Whatever. I hope a ghost whispers in your ear tonight.
Me too.
That's not the response I was expecting.
I'm ready. An open mind.
And on that note, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Sarah Stevens.
Woo!